This is The Antidote by Amani.
This is The Antidote, the new culture and politics podcast for millennials and Gen Z, where we search for the cure to today's viral social issues. This is a very, very special episode because it is currently election night 2020, and we are recording this episode live straight from the Biden-Harris executive office in Tampa, Florida, the battleground state, where up until now at 11:30 p.m., did they call Florida yet? They didn't call Florida yet. We have a pretty solid idea of where it's going to go, but it is definitely historic to be here in the midst of it all as it's going down. And for me especially, it's definitely a full circle moment because I was a child when Gore v. Bush happened here 20 years ago, which was a decision that I stayed up for all night at like 8 years old, because I knew even at that age how that decision would really define the rest of my life. And full circle moment, being back here in Florida, it feels just as much of a defining moment this evening as it ever was. So I couldn't find a better group of individuals to come together and really just commemorate this moment in history, this fork in the road for our country, than with some of the volunteers that made my congressional race in New Jersey the unlikely and highly doubted race even possible. These are our Gen Z volunteers, and I would like to introduce a few who will be on. Do each of you want to go and introduce, go ahead and introduce yourselves, you know, your name, age, where you're from, and why you got involved with the Amani 2020 campaign?
I guess I'll go.
Of course, Joey.
Everybody was so quiet, so I guess I'll go. So, hi, y'all. My name is Joey. I just turned 20, so
happy birthday, Joey.
Thank you. So I'm from Queens, New York, and I decided to be a part of the Amani 2020 campaign because, you know, for quite some time, I've just been inspired by Amani. And just seeing the work that she's been doing for a lot of the people in her community is just really amazing. And seeing what she stands for, like the same beliefs that I stand for, is just really amazing. And it's great to have someone who is like different from my skin color support the same reasons that, you know, we're living in the time like this, like having a president who kind of is supporting like some of the rights that I want. You know, and I deserve to have. So that's why I decided to be a part of this campaign. And I'm super, super, super grateful. And, you know, I've made tons of friends, and I, you know, all of us, I can speak for all of us. We were all very, very shy. And, you know, it's really great to have such an amazing support system. Like, you know, I talk to like basically almost all of you guys, like on a regular basis, like, on like how our lives are and like how school is, and you know, and literally like before we started the podcast, like we were texting each other like the results, we were trying to like play games, like, you know, but it's really great. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And you know, I'm manifesting for you to, you know, run again. So yeah, that's who I am.
Hello world. That was so cringy, yikes. My name is Fatima. I live in Massachusetts. I'm 19, but I'm going to be 20 in like 3 weeks. So looking forward to that. And the reason why I joined Amani's campaign was to like just gain experience and just expand my knowledge. And I'm just grateful for that because I was able to make friends, you know. And like Joey said, we were just all like, we were legit awkward with each other, but somehow we just managed to like, you know, get comfortable with each other. So I'm just grateful to like be friends with y'all, and especially with Amani.
Hi guys, I'm Monique. I'm the baby. I'm 17. I am baby. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I joined this because I'm in a family of ignorant Trump supporters, honestly. And I just really wanted to break that chain, be my own free thinker, and just help people, you know? Humanitarian type beat. Also, I'm funnier than all of them and prettier.
I 100% believe it.
Yeah.
So Monique, Joey, and Fatima have been three integral volunteers in the Mining 2020 campaign. And they're not kidding. You know, we still have group chats that we speak with each other in on a daily basis. And actually, in large part, this podcast, the Antidote podcast, was inspired by those group chats, which started in our campaign Slack channel and then evolved into a regular part of our lives, because the conversations that we started and were fighting for during the campaign became conversations that we were all really dedicated to continuing far beyond that one congressional race. And I know for some of you, and maybe each of you, this was the first political campaign that you got involved in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that all three of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that is really interesting. Why was this the time that you felt like you had to step up and act?
I mean, like, we're in a global pandemic, we're in the middle of a race war, someone had to do something. And of course it was the children. Mm-hmm. And kids like acted always. More like leaders than adults.
Yeah.
No, I think it was just time to take charge and actually do something. Cause I know peers that have struggled with advocating for themselves. So I'm like, why not speak for them, you know? So it's time to step up, especially now in the circumstances that we're living.
Yeah. I feel like for me, I feel like I wanted to do this is because, you know, in the pandemic, a lot of people have been going through depression and you know, this has been a very sad time for all of us because we're losing loved ones and friends left and right due to the virus. And even though it was very scary for me, I thought that, you know, you can be able to do things from home, you know, you can be able to do different activities from home. So when I saw this, I was like, you know, I want to be able to make a difference for people who look like me, for younger people who maybe, you know, who may not understand what's going on right now. Like, I want to be that example to be like, hey, in the middle of a pandemic, you can do anything. You can start your own business. You can be able to help people run for Congress or president or whatever office that you want to help volunteer in. You can be able to do that because the sky is really honestly the limit. And, you know, and even though we are living in different times right now and we got to see tragic events, even in the midst of the pandemic, with Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, you can be able to make a difference and use your voice and inspire other people that look like you or may not look like you and educate them that this is important and that you can be able to make a difference and help people just from being at home, you know?
Totally. And I know throughout the race, I was really vocal to you guys about how much of an honor and how humbling it was to me to find out that our race was the first time that you were getting involved in a campaign politically. Because for me, the first political campaign I ever got involved in was Obama's first presidential run. And I was a volunteer at the time. I wasn't old enough to vote, but I just remember how much that experience meant to me. And I remember we had conversations when, you know, we were in the Slack channel, when we were having our weekly Zoom, our weekly volunteer meetings, where I wanted to make sure that you guys also knew the importance of that, right? That this wasn't just about us fighting to win this seat, but also for each of you to be able to carry this experience with you to whatever you go to next, because that's what my first political campaign was to me. You know, that hope that it instilled in me was the same attitude that I carried with me into other spaces and eventually, you know, my own race. And as a Muslim woman, obviously that brought things to a whole new caliber of importance. And one thing that I also was super proud of through our campaign, and I was super vocal about, I proclaimed that our campaign was the most diverse one in the country, the most diverse congressional campaign. Each of you come from really interesting backgrounds, and I'm curious if your identities had an impact on how urgent you felt like it was to really get involved.
That's a really great question. I never even thought about that. That's so crazy. Wow, that's really deep. Oh, wow. I feel like, and I'm probably gonna not even answer this question properly, but anyways, I feel like, honestly, with this campaign, I felt like I've learned and grown as a human being, just knowing like what's been going on in the world and like being able to have that experience of volunteering and, you know, being an African-American male and being able to have that experience, you know, doing this, it's honestly a blessing. And wow, this is such a deep question. Wow. Like, this is so deep. But yeah, like being as like an African-American male, like being able to do this, like I felt like with this campaign, like I've, you know, all three of us have been like the social media people. And I feel like we've definitely learned and grown as human beings, getting all these researches and like facts about like all these different things that's been happening in our history. That kind of like shaped me, and like probably like I can speak for Fatima and Monique as well, because you know as you, I feel like for some people, like as you like get older, like you kind of see the world in like a whole different view. And that has kind of been me for quite some time. Before, when I was younger, I didn't even see this world like being segregated before, you know, growing up. I even remembered when I remember it was a Martin Luther King like cartoon video, and I just saw this one, there was like these three group of kids, and they went back in time during like Martin Luther King's time when he was like younger and evolving and growing up, and like being able to see like how people like me being separated from like non-people of color, it was pretty surprising to me, because I was like, I never knew like as a young boy that we had to go through, you know, segregation. So like getting to know and learn more and more and more, you know, about our Black history and the world, like I feel like as for me as a Black person, like you get to learn more and more. And that's what I'm really grateful about this campaign, is that we as individuals, we get to learn every single day of, oh, what can we improve about this? What can we improve about that? Even learning about different more facts that we didn't even know about, you know? So even though this is probably like off topic from your question, that's what I think. So,
no, yeah. That's beautiful. 100%. I do want to say, I want to take this opportunity to say that right now, as of now, it's a little bit before midnight on the first day of the election, and it looks like they are close to calling Virginia for Vice President Biden. And there was also an alert for Maine. I didn't catch that one. I couldn't tell like who was in the lead, but this is pretty significant that we see Biden taking the lead in Virginia. They've counted a good number of the ballots from there. So right now, as of now, CNN is saying that this close election might come down to Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So let's see what happens. No, but Joey, that's amazing. And I think that applies to so many young people today. And it is very rare with what we have going on right now to feel that type of hope in any type of activity or movement that we want to contribute our energy and time to, because it has become so easy for us to like throw our hands up in the air and say like, who cares? Why does my vote matter? What does my voice even matter? What are you guys fighting for? Like, what is keeping you in there throwing punches and fighting for the system that we often feel like doesn't want us in the first place?
Well, for me, legit, I'm doing like all of this just for my parents, because they're not from here. So I was like born and raised here. And most of my, all of my family members immigrated from Honduras. And then, yeah, so each of us have like our own story. I'm doing this for them, but also for myself too, you know, because like, I don't know, it's just, it's a weird time, because during like your campaign, I learned a lot, especially with you receiving all these type of hate. I've never like witnessed something like that. So that kind of made me not amazed, but like astonished from what I was like really seeing, because I've never had any type of racism like and like that. So for that, that's just a learning experience. But yeah, I'm just doing this for my parents. They're like the reason why I have hope, because, you know, in this house, we can't give up. So that's like one of the things. And so, yeah, they're going to be like my motivations for everything. And yeah.
That's beautiful.
For me, I'm voting for, of course, Black Lives Matter. Just seeing like the you know, the tragic murders of like Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and so many others have been like murdered by white privileged police officers, it kind of like made me fearful for my life, my family's life as African Americans. Everybody says that systemic racism is not, it doesn't really exist, but it still is. Like, it still continues to happen every single day. So I'm definitely voting for that. And I'm doing that for like, for me and like my friends who may look like me and like my family members, because like, I wanna be able to break that cycle of systemic racism that we still face within this country. I'm also voting for like the LGBTQIA community, because I do have an aunt who is a part of that community. And every single day, she inspires me so much to see all the things that she's been doing. Like, she's been working like on her own podcast. Like, she's been working on her own like Black owned like business, like, and like it uplifting like place for like queer women, for them to like be able to wear suits so they won't be criticized, you know, by like, you know, the world. So every day, like, she inspires me so much, and I really want to fight for her, because and I have other people within the LGBTQIA community, and shout out to them, because they inspire me so much. And, you know, seeing like what they go through with them, it's hard for them to be accepted by their own parents and their loved ones. So I want to fight for them. And also like for all my college students, shout out to y'all, like free college tuition, like it can really be weighing on like your mental health and like your family and your like your taxes. And like, you, like imagine like being able to like live, you're graduated, but you still have to go through like college taxes. Like, I find that absolutely ridiculous. So
that
like,
just gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
Yeah, like it gives me applying for it. Like, I don't want to think about that when I get older. Like, I don't want to be suffering and drowning through like all of that. So that's mainly the three things that I want to be able to vote for. And I feel like that our future, and I'm going to say future, our future president, Biden and Harris, because in my book, I don't see Biden as like a vice president. I see him as our future president.
And well, along with Harris. I great moment to interject and say that they have officially called Virginia for Biden, and they are projecting Arizona to go Biden.
I know, that's right.
Never been more proud to live in this world.
Right now, we're looking at 200. Whoa, it just went up. We're looking at 230 electoral votes for Biden, 114 for Trump.
Yeah.
The road to 270, my friends. The road to 270. Let's go.
I know that's right and never, ever, ever wrong. So, yeah, like with, like I was saying, like, I don't see Biden as a vice president, as even though, like, he was. and along with Obama. Shout out to you, Obama, and we miss you.
Come back. Shout out Obama.
Come back. But yeah, like, I don't see it, like, with in this race, like, I don't see him as our vice president. I see him as our future president. And along with Kamala Harris, I see her as our future first, our first woman of color vice president. Like, that's even crazier to say. Like, I see both of them as our being in office and being able to fix, like, all the damage that we had to go through for all these, like, for this past 4 years. So that's mainly what I'm voting for. So
how are you guys How are you guys feeling? Like, how are you feeling about this election? How are you feeling about the future?
You want the honest answer?
Yeah. Oh, do yeah. you?
Yeah. You know, anxiety in all caps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I speak for all of us when I say that we have had many, many multiple panic attacks tonight.
And the night before.
Monique, what have you been the most anxious about?
Okay, so I am a bisexual woman in a primarily Catholic conservative household. And it's really scary. It was really surreal for Amy, I'm going to call her Amy Conan Biscuit for the sake of the comedy, to have been confirmed into the Supreme Court and to have gay marriage, which has barely been like, what, 6-7 years legalized on the chopping block. Like, it doesn't, it just bothers me that people are bothered by who we choose to love. Like, that is what I was most anxious about, not to mention the fact that even though we're Mexican family, not really a lot of my family cares for the immigrants, but like, immigrants are people too. Immigrants make America, and it breaks my heart. Like, it genuinely shatters my entire being to see children separated from their parents and put in cages. Like, we gotta end that shit. It has gotta go. Like, that is what I was most anxious for.
Thank you for that. No, that's you know better than anyone that that's absolutely something I'm on the same page about. That at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. Like, right now, we are drawing the line in the sand for our country, and really just laying down what we stand for. This is the fork in the road for us. I have been very, very doubtful throughout the course of this entire race, this entire election, about any chance for that type of change, just because of, especially this past year, with the racial mm-hmm. tension that's come to the surface. I would never underestimate American racism, as I said in our last episode with Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. But then, honestly, like, seeing the record-breaking voter turnout numbers, that completely changed my perception of everything. Now I'm convinced that we are going to win this. I have been convinced all day. I chose to take Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley's advice on our first episode of this podcast, which is to choose joy. And I decided to choose joy today and try to approach this. As I say this, results are coming in, and Pennsylvania, we see Trump taking the lead. So there's still just a little over half of the votes have been counted. So still time to see what happens. And in Michigan, Trump also taking the lead, 54-43. But again, we still have votes to count. It looks like we're at 60% counted so far in these areas. These are obviously very, very important key states, as we've been talking about here. Interesting timing. Listen, I mean, this entire day I've been saying, like, we're gonna win by a landslide because I saw the voter turnout. It looks like the next round of polls are closing in literally 30 seconds right now. So we're going to get to see another chunk of votes where they're going to land momentarily. But clearly, this isn't going to be a landslide win. And that, too, you know, I wonder what that says about where we're at right now, where the public is at, how people are feeling. Because my mentality was, okay, if the voter turnout has been that significant, clearly that means people are rushing to the polls for change. You know, like, I couldn't see people rushing to the polls to reelect a president, but to in fact fire a president. Have you guys voted?
Yep.
I'm a youth.
First time
so.
Forever.
Yeah.
This is the first election that you voted for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. How has
so it's a big deal for me. Well, for me and Joey, at least. Sorry, yeah. Monique.
Me and Aquarius.
So we have another volunteer in the chat, Vicky Lynn, say that Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin are reporting election day votes earliest and absentee votes latest, and that they might not have the final results until the end of the week at the earliest. I'm not so sure about that. I think that we might actually have like the result of this race by the end of the night, because up until this point, the absentee ballots have been actively getting counted. So we would know like a significant number of those votes, those ballots, where they would go. But let's see what happens. I mean, one thing that I've been very concerned about with this, like one of my primary concerns has been what would happen if Trump were to claim victory regardless of what the outcome is. And I guess
it's a scary
we're about
thought.
To,
it's
I don't know where thought. We go from here. Thought.
I mean, people are throwing around the word coup. It would be a literal coup, and that would be what it is, you know? So that would be like the first time that we would have to deal with that with the presidency. But so this is the first time that you guys have voted. That's really incredible. Like, talk about iconic, that for the rest of your lives, you get to say that the first election you ever voted in was Trump versus Biden. Wow. What does that mean to
historic.
You?
Historic.
It's 100% historic. Like, what's the significance of that to you?
For me, it's just a great, like, feeling, even though we're living in a terrible place at the moment. But it's like a learning experience, because obviously when Trump and Hillary were running, I think I was like 15 or 16. So I was still kind of like learning, but not really like paying attention to it. But don't blame me. Like, I bet like any 16-year-old or 15-year-old didn't really care about like political stuff. But as time progressed, I started to just see, wow, this man, he's a real douchebag for sure. I mean, like, even during like his campaign, I already knew he was just bad news. But as time went on, I was like, this man needs to go. The next election needs to come in ASAP, immediately. And so that moment finally came. And then me and my mom were just like having this, we'd be having random conversations. And she was like, wow, you just turned 18. You're gonna vote for the first time. And you're not only voting for yourself, but you're voting for me, for your dad, and basically for the rest of the family that aren't able to vote. So that's like a big, huge moment and an honor to do. So it was like a great moment to just vote and just knowing that I have that right and no one is able to gonna take that away from me. So we're gonna keep continuing to like fight through this, even though there could be a bad outcome, but somehow we just have to like find ways to pull through. I mean, the last 4 years, we somehow were able to get through it, even though our mental health just plunged down.
Out the door.
Mm-hmm. Out the window. But yeah, now that I'm like seeing this, I feel like there's hope, at least. At the beginning, I had no hope whatsoever. I was just like discouraged. I'm like, he's probably gonna win. Another 4 years is just gonna be another nightmare. But this time I have faith and hope that we're gonna be able to win. Knock on wood.
So it looks like CNN is calling Arizona for Trump. So that is another key state that looks like it's projected to go to 45. Next set of polls close in 1 hour. Right now, we are looking at 209 votes for Biden, 132 for Trump. Those are the projections currently. And we are on the road to 270. And obviously, as we are going, obviously, as we are going with these updates, like over the course of this episode, please, to those listening, know that we are just going by the constantly changing projections that we're all watching in real time right now as they unfold. So we're just keeping you in the loop about it. But I want to know, what is your hope for America? What do you hope comes out of this? For me, I see a tremendous silver lining in the fact that the voter turnout has been so significant, and the fact that so many young people like yourselves are actually engaging and actually care and actually feeling power in their vote, and not disengagement, not disenfranchisement, but this assertion of that right to vote. So in doing that, you know, you guys are at this, like, you're just such an influential age, and this is obviously going to be a moment that you carry with you for the rest of your lives. Right now, right here, as we are on the brink of this new chapter for our country, whatever that chapter looks like, what are your hopes? What's your vision? What do you hope is on the other side of that?
That's hard of, like, vision. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Damage control. Oh my god. Hello, damage control.
For real. I would say for me, my hope is that everything would kind of, like, be back to the way it was before Trump, you know, came in office. That's my hope. I hope that we can be able to stop the continuous systemic racism against Black people, Muslim people, Hispanics, et cetera, et cetera. My hope is to, you know, just be able to fix all the damage that's been done onto this country, because even though for the past 4 years, we got to experience all the things that Trump has done, honestly. And it, you know, what was really baffling to me was that when I saw the debates, to see him, like, straight up lie about everything, like, lie about, like, oh, he's done everything for Black people, after he just went on a Twitter rant when our people were running, protesting in the streets for George Floyd.
The looting starts, the shooting starts. We don't forget.
Mm-hmm. We don't ever forget. When he said that he was trying to find a cure for coronavirus, he never found a cure for coronavirus. He lived in fear. He called the coronavirus a Chinese virus. He wanted us to have bleach in our systems. Like, what kind of president does that? And then he gets away with being impeached after there was multiple receipts of him calling Russia and doing all of this so he can be able to win this election. So to all the young people who are listening right now, and to all the older people who are listening to this right now, hopefully I want you all to, like, take away from this that we are living in a time where we can be able to fix all this damage, or we are still going to be able to have this president who has this demeanor of hate and, like, ignorance and racism and xenophobia and all this other blase. And we can either live in change, or we can still continue to have hatred come upon this country. So as we, like, look at these, like, you know, see the results of, like, who's voting for who, Let this be known for the next 4 years that this will be another important election. If God suppose he wins and there is another candidate that goes against him, please make sure your voice is heard. Make sure you register the vote, because your voice matters. And I understand that there's not a lot of people that's not voting because they're going through this, they're going through that. But don't let that stop you from getting your voice heard to the polls. Oh, if you've been, like, actively, like, going to the streets and protesting Black Lives Matter, if you've been doing your part by signing petitions and like donating and all that other things, then you can be able to use your voice through a ballot and send it to the Board of Elections, wherever you are, and have your voice be heard and counted, and have your, because you cannot let people stop you from having your voice be heard. You have every right to. The First Amendment says that you have the freedom of speech. You don't let Trump take that away from you. Don't let that discourage you. You know, if we made it through the 4 years that he's been in office, even though he's been creating all these different laws of like ignorance and racism and like all this other things, then we can be able to still create change. Even if he does win, and I'm hoping, you know, again, hoping he doesn't win, because we don't want that. But, you know, so we can still be able to create change from our homes, even in the midst of a pandemic. Even if there's no solution to this whole pandemic, we still can be able to make a change from our fingertips, from like our home, on our laptops, anywhere. Like, please be aware and like learn about your history and like learn about the different candidates. If you're fighting for like a right that you are really passionate about, and you don't see him fighting for the same rights that you do, that's not the president that you need to be voting for. I'm sorry, baby girl, and I'm sorry, baby boy. That is not the president that you need to be voting for. But if you see another candidate, a Democrat president or candidate that is fighting for the same rights for you, that's the right person that you need to be voting for. And I know that people are not voting and I know I'm probably taking a lot of time, but I know that a lot of people are not voting is because of like, you know, their past history and their like all the problematic things that they've done. But this is a really important election, you know? And like, I really wish that like people could understand that people do learn and do progress and do learn over time, and that we can be able to have change upon this country. You know, I feel like over this past 4 years, and I feel like everybody can agree with this, we have seen division onto this country. You know, like Trump being able to like separate a lot of Hispanic people's families and not letting people have that American dream. There's a lot of separation, and all the hard work that all like women have been fighting for, LGBTQIA people have been fighting for, Black people have been fighting for, Hispanics have been fighting for. He has been trying to, this whole time, has been trying to reverse history and not let that happen. And that is a problem. But if we have Biden, and I'm praying to God we do, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, you know? So I feel like with this election, and to people to the viewers who are listening to this, for this next election, for the next elections that you have, like that you may be a part of, that it may be your first time, like learn about your candidates, do your research on your candidates, do the research upon this country and like what we've been going through. You know, let's be clear here. This has been stolen land. And clearly we're letting these people take over. And we want to, and like, you know, and it's just so sad. I would never, you know, as a younger person, I would never understand why people don't really celebrate Columbus Day. But now that I'm older, I understand now, because this was indigenous people's land. It wasn't Christopher Columbus, it wasn't white people's, it was indigenous people's land. So basically, white folk done took over this whole country that was originally from indigenous people. And this is how it led up to, you know, us as Black people going through slavery. This is how it led up to Hispanic people not being able to have the American dream that they deserve. This is how it led up to LGBTQIA people fighting for the right for their voice to be heard. This is how the women's suffrage movement kind of started, you know? So yeah.
And it's true, like what you're saying is that it's beyond this race, it's crucial not only to care about the next presidential, mm-hmm. but also your local elections,
yeah,
your local races. 100%. Those happen far more frequently than the presidential races,
mm-hmm,
and those impact your daily life in much more tangible ways than these federal races when they occur. So I mean, you're making amazing points, Joey. And I think that a lot of young people agree with you. That's, you know, clearly this race is much bigger than it being between two candidates. This is a definitive statement that we are making on behalf of communities that have been silenced for far too long. And yeah, I think it goes beyond the last 4 years. You know, because at the end of the day, we know that we still have work to do. It looks like, so it says Joe Biden is about to make a statement shortly. I think that we're calling the race.
Oh,
the anxiety just kicked in.
Yeah, no, you really just, oh.
So the next polls close in 43 minutes. Right now we see Biden at 205 points, Trump at 136 as of 12:16 a.m.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we're going by CNN. So this is the latest on CNN. It seems like some other sources are calling Hawaii for Biden, which would bring him to 223. So you guys, I do want to kind of bring this conversation to a thought that we can leave off on for whatever lies beyond beyond the other side.
I had a whole speech.
The final question that I want to ask you guys as Gen Z, as Gen Zers, is what is the antidote for these issues that compelled you to finally take a stand, to get engaged, to get involved? What, as young people, do you see being the antidote?
It feels really helpless, but I mean, that's all that I can do. And I think that's how a lot of us found out about what was going on, and that's social media. Mm-hmm. Like, we are so connected to everything nowadays. Like, we never take a step back. We barely play outside, do anything like that. So,
which we should, least, but
yeah, I know, at least for me, social media activism has really taken over my life. And the antidote of social media, in the age of information, if you're ignorant, that's on you. Mm. Like, Google is free. Mm. Google is free.
Yeah.
Like, come on now, guys. Mm-hmm. We can do this. It's not difficult to be well-informed or to form your own opinions. And I think at least for Gen Z, it's not difficult for us to come together either. Like, we are all, like I said, we're all connected. We are all one, and we all have one common goal, and that is to fight for each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I swear to God, Trump supporting Gen Zs, they are glitches in the simulation. We do not claim them. Mm-hmm. But
for real,
the rest of us, we have goals, we have ambitions. And I think based on what Joey said, like, at least for me, it goes on the other side of that. Like, I am not a person of color. I have a very abundant amount of privilege. And if you're using this, if you're not using your privilege to speak up for those that don't have it, you are a disgrace. I'm not going to put it in any other way.
Mm.
You're racist. There is no neutral for racial inequality.
Mm.
And I think that is where Gen Z all comes together. Like, we are so sick of this shit that yeah, we're done. We are taking it to social media. We are taking it to the streets, and we are not standing for it anymore. Like, I know that a lot of this doesn't affect me, but it affects you guys, and your fight is always going to be my fight. So I am always going to stand with you. We are always going to be together. Even when we fall apart, like, you guys are across the freaking country from me. You are across the country. And here I am. Like, we are connected. We are together. And social media is that antidote, at least for me. At least for me.
Absolutely.
No, for me, it's Joey and Monique pretty much summed it up. We're all legit, like, connected to social media. And, like, for Gen Zs, we kind of, like, we went through, like, this evolution, you know? Like, we basically grew up the change of, like, social media has done, you know? But also, let me just put this out there. Be smart. And by that, don't be ignorant. Like, if you have a close-minded, just get out. Like, don't even, like, talk to
me. We don't argue with ourselves here.
Yeah, we
just
we
get out. Just you. The door. Legit, just go to the door.
Let it hit you on the way out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I'm like, how can you be so close-minded, yet the evidence of what it's, like, legit in front of you, like, what more can we do to, you know, like, to make you understand? So if you're ignorant, I'm so sorry. Well, not even, sorry, not sorry. That's playing your, it's like your fault. You're
the baby.
And so you just need to, like us with social media, we saw the change throughout the years. I think it's time for you to do the same thing. It's only fair for everyone, you know? If you're ignorant, just get out. Don't even talk to me. Like,
I'm not going to waste my time
from the mouth.
Yeah, don't
from the mouth of babes.
I learned that the hard way, because I'm not going to put certain people on blast because I'll probably get dragged.
No, get put
but
on
I, like, a few weeks ago, my mom had a debate with someone very close to us, and they're very close-minded. And I never saw that before. And, like, in person, at least. So I was just shook. I was like, oh, Jesus, like, you can't be this so tiny. Like, your brain must be so tiny for you not to comprehend. And basically the whole argument was towards abortion. And that was just, like, not enough evidence. Like, all of it just tied up to abortion, but nothing else. So I'm like, you do realize we have, like, family members that are legit struggling with immigration. And so it kind of hurts me because I don't want to see my cousin go back to Honduras. And then my younger cousin watch her mom be taken away. That's not fair. It's not fair for, like, a kid to witness their mom or dad, brother, cousins be taken away from them. That's something. Family is sacred, especially in the Hispanic culture. I know that because I am family oriented. So family is, like, an important, and it's key to my everyday life. So I'm like, if you're ignorant, change the habit, change that bad habit that you have. And yeah. Welcome to my TED Talk.
Honestly, I absolutely agree with Fatima and Monique. Like, social media is basically key. Like, every one of us has grown up with social media.
Wait, communication's key.
Unlocked
the memory.
Bring in that back.
Memory just happened. But yeah, like we said, social media, it's a part of our lifetime. Like, we've grown up with watching it. And, you know, just following, honestly, for me, and, like, probably for Fatima and Moni too, I've honestly been following, like, people like Sean King and, like, people like Simone Sanders, I think that's her name, and so many other, like, people who use their voice and their platform to share, like, what's going on in the world that they're not showing on the news, you know? And I honestly feel like our history classes should have been teaching us about the history of America. Yes, we learned about Christopher Columbus, that stole land. He stole the land.
We were sheltered in school, in other words.
No, we learned about white America. We didn't learn about America.
We learned about a white, corrupt America. Why do we need to learn about that? We need to learn about the true history of America, about how our country was stolen by Christopher Columbus. The continuous systemic racism and the segregation and the and slavery of people like me. We need to learn in our history classes, like, about the people of the LGBTQIA community, especially the trans community, of what they've gone through. We need to learn about, like, the people within the Hispanic community and people, and even though we do learn about the Chinese, the people who are Asian, we do learn about their community, yes, but I feel like we should educate ourselves even more about their history, because, like, honestly, like, all we just learn about in history is white America, white corrupt America. We learn about Dominican.
It's not even pretty.
Literally, that's all we learn about. And it's just like, why is it that, when I took like a whole history class about like political, I think it was politics and something, the more I've learned about so much in that class, and shout out to my teacher, Mr. Copeland, love you. The more I've like learned more about that class, the more that opened my eyes and realized, why haven't we learned more about the people who are of color instead of learning about white corrupt America? Why don't we learn about the true history of America? Because that's not what the teachers want to teach our kids. And that's really the sad reality. So honestly, like, social media is key, and that's literally like all we have right now to educate ourselves even more, to like know like what the true history of America is. And like, you know, just so like to people who are like I said, to people who are watching this, you may be young, you may be old, like, educate yourself, learn about your history, like, learn about the true history of America. And if you are ignorant and you don't believe that this actually happened, then look it up. Google is totally free. Like, you got Google Chrome, free. Search it up. It's there. And if you have voted for Trump, I have nothing to say to you. Like, I wish you all the best in your life, but I have nothing to say.
Please don't talk to me. If you are my friend,
if you are like my family member, like, we are breaking it up. Like, my relationship with you, done, over.
I think that's really what it comes down to for a lot of people, is that the 2020 election is about our livelihoods at the end of the day. And so that is the statement that a lot of people recognize our vote is making, is, do you see me as an equal, or don't you? Yeah. And really, I think that's the moment in history that we find ourselves in right now. I just got a word that it looks like Pennsylvania has actually stopped counting ballots and won't resume until 9 a.m. tomorrow. So we actually literally might not even know or be able to know who wins tonight.
I'm gonna go to bed and wake up in a nightmare.
Honestly, that's the thing. I'm getting PTSD flashbacks from Bush v. Gore. Like, but you know,
I have a question. How did you wake up to when Trump became president? I'm curious.
The first time.
Like, the first time.
Hopefully the only time.
Yeah. I was in New York, and I remember I woke up the next day and it felt like there was just a pall of sadness or like depression over all of New York City. And it was really interesting because I remember distinctly too that people were way friendlier to me, you know, as like a visibly Muslim woman. Like, they would go out of their way if they're like passing me to like smile at me. This is immediately like the next day. It's like, smile at me, hold the door open for me. It was like strangers would pass each other and give like this knowing passing nod to each other. Like, yeah, shit's fucked up and we're all in this together and I got you, you know? That's like what I distinctly remember from it. Guys, I hate to do this, but we're gonna have to like wrap this up because my anxiety level now is like freaking out because I'm just like, oh my God, like, we need to brace ourselves. Like, we need to like, you know, but I love that's the question that we ended on.
Thank you for having us, by the way.
Thank you guys so much. I'm literally listening to you guys. I'm like, yes, I'm so glad that we are able to commemorate this in a podcast episode, like these feelings, these emotions, these statements, because this is something that we're all going to look back on. Imagine you guys, you know, like, look at me, like, this is 20 years after when, like, the Bush v. Gore situation happened when I was a kid, you know what I mean? And it's, like, I wish I knew, like, I had recorded back then, like, this is how I'm feeling, you know what I mean? Like, to be able to, like, look back on and be, like, okay, little one, like, look where we are now, you know? So I'm really glad that we get to have this. And
this is honestly, like, a whole honor. Like,
how it started, how it's
like,
going.
For real, like, I remember, like, in the Slack, I was, like, we need to be guests on this podcast, and, like,
and to be fair, we kind of, like, pushed her.
Yeah. No, and we like, many months later, here we are.
I told you guys, I told you that I would have you on this podcast, and I meant it, because this podcast was born out of our campaign, out of our Slack channel, out of voices like yours, and it was created for you guys. For us to be able to have a space for us to continue these conversations that matter. And it has been a tremendous honor for me that I get to say not only was my campaign powered by the youth, the people that are inheriting this country and inheriting this world, but that just listening to you all in this episode and even just getting to know you over the course of this past year, that you are our future leaders, you know? And I think that just listen, anyone that would listen to this conversation would be like, all right, if this is how our young people are thinking and feeling, and this is what's on their mind, then maybe the kids are gonna be all right after all. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for being part of this journey, being part of this experience with me, allowing me to be a part of this moment with you guys. And as of now, 12:30 a.m. Election day, or I guess like the now early morning of day two of the 2020 presidential elections, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's on the other side of this veil. We don't know what country we'll be waking up to in the morning.
Hashtag fear.
But listen, you know what? Hashtag hope. Because at the end of the day, after conversations like this, at least we have the confidence that we do have each other. We are our sisters and our brothers' keepers. And no matter what, we know at the end of the day that on behalf of our families, our communities, our own experiences, there's still going to be work to do. And that work is going to be powered by love. So
like thank you all so much. Surviving but thriving.
Yes!
Yes!
Fatima! For now. I'm glad you threw that in there. That's been like our mantra. And it's more true now than ever.
Thank you.